This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from Honolulu, Hawaii, overlooking Greater Oahu. The lead stories are, get your own Game of Thrones throne. A swatter gets 20 for a deadly swatting. Zuckerberg is begging Congress to regulate the internet. And Getty Images are getting sued again. I want to welcome you to episode 1357 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, April 1st. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You too can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider. I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for checking us out. Of course, those of you that are longtime listeners and part of our Ohana, if you will notice, those of you that are watching the video today, we are honoring the Ohana by putting the Ohana logo up in the left-hand corner of the video feed tonight. So if you're part of the Ohana, that is there for you and will remain there until we do our last show here in Hawaii. But if you're brand new, if you're brand new to the show, it's real simple. We want you to join the Ohana. All you got to do is get over to geeknewscentral.com. And when you're on the website, let's see if I can bring the actual, the main website up. Go over to geeknewscentral.com. Oh, that was nice. I'm on the live site. Well, it doesn't matter. If you go over to geeknewscentral.com, what's up? Oh, my goodness. And I can't type anything. So let me try that again. If you go over to geeknewscentral.com, you're going to find all of the ways to subscribe to the show. And whether it be Apple Podcasts, on Android, via email, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, or via an RSS feed, those are the ways right on the right-hand column of the website. As I am showing those of you that are watching, those of you that are listening, you could care less. It's on the main web page. Just get over there and get subscribed. And that way you can too can join the Ohana and be part of our family here. Of course, I'm all thumbs tonight. I thought I had all the websites loaded, but I must have moved stuff around wrong. But hey, subscribe to the newsletter while you're on the website. That's right there on the main page as well. And of course, you can watch the show on your Apple TV as well. Or you can listen on blueberry.com. You can listen on your smart home device by saying the keyword to launch that device and say, play the podcast Geek News Central. We are live when I'm doing shows here from Honolulu. And we're at live.geeknewscentral.com. We're on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Mixer. So you really can just do a quick search and you'll find us and you'll be able to come up live. And they normally start between 7 and 8 p.m. Hawaiian Standard Time. Of course, you can always join us on our chat room, geeknews.chat, our Mastodon server. If that's not cool enough for you, you can join our Slack channel, be part of our Slack Ohana. And yes, be slackers and join us, and you can contribute over there as well and talk with the cool kids. So that's just a couple of ways to stay connected. Of course, you can always just email me here. That's really the most easy way, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, on Twitter, I'm at Geek News. You following a pattern here? And of course, you can follow me on Facebook. All our partner shows are listed at geeknewscentral.com, whether it be the GNC Week and Review by Kirk Corliss, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, the Pro Gear site written by my team. There's a new article up there, I believe, today. Some cool videography stuff and drones. Of course, there's the new media show hosted by myself and Mr. Rob Greenlee, Podcast Legends Show, which is currently on hiatus, but there's a couple of great interviews there for you. You can always pick up gear, Geek News Central gear, at cafepress.com/Ohana store. This show is, of course, supported by the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast, and that's our good friends at GoDaddy.com. And you can get over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy and grab one of these codes and save yourself a ton of cash. Whether it be 30% off a new product purchase, a 99-cent.com, a dollar a month economy hosting with a free domain for the first year, or a dollar a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. This is the best deal in the absolute universe when it comes to getting online and having a website Nothing's cheaper in that first year of service. Now, you can always extend 2 or 3 years on that subscription if you sign up, and you can lock in usually some of the best savings. Not always, but usually you get the biggest discount when you add the multi-years in immediately, and it averages out to a much lower cost over the lifetime of the account. But you can get started for $1, just for $1 a month. And of course, if you're a business owner, you may want to look at that 1 month free trial of GoDaddy Website Builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. All these codes are available at geekinthecentral.com/GoDaddy. Either cut and paste them and use it at checkout, or click on the link to lock in the savings immediately right from the main page. If you've already got everything that you need on online services, hey, send a friend over to the website. Tell friends, family members, people that you know, people you work with, people that you have cross circles with. You hear them talking about their business, talking about trying to grow it, trying to get some new tools, trying to figure out why they're not being found on Google. GoDaddy has a whole list of products and services, and even, yes, even a live human being that can help you out. And different plans, different strokes for different folks, but all my codes will save you money when you go over there and pick up a product or service at GoDaddy. They've been a partner here with this show since June of 2005, and we're fast approaching 14 continuous years of their support of this show. In order for them to do that, in order for them to continue supporting the show, we need you to definitely share these codes with your friends, family members, and people that you know. And if you're new to the show, grab a hosting account immediately. Save some money, all right? Get online, become a podcaster. Be a blogger. Yes, that's still a thing. Build your business, whatever it may be. If you want to set up a website for a family member, for a child, buy a domain for one of your kids, that's a cool thing to do these days, because kids' names, John Doe, Susie Hildebrand, Tom Bean, all those types of names and those .coms, there's not many of them left. So definitely go and look at the variations when you're shopping around. And again, use my codes at geekinthecentral.com/GoDaddy. All right, want to again say hello to everybody. Thank you for being here. And got a great show lined up for you tonight. But I've been thinking, and that's a dangerous thing. as we're wrapping down, as I am wrapping down, my coverage or my show from Hawaii and moving the show to Michigan, along with myself and, basically, being closer to Raw Voice and being in the studio down there, the dynamic of the show is going to change, because I'll be recording sometimes in the new studio in Michigan and sometimes in the studio in Ohio. And both those studios, we're going to get obviously video up and running. There's going to be this transition period where it's going to happen. But if I'm down in Columbus, I'm going to do the show from the studio in there, where you have a different motif or different look than from when the show is going to be in the new studio in Michigan. And the ideas that I've got forming in my head on how that's all going to kind of look and be built out. And so as we're kind of ramping, then we've been in this location now since November of 2007. So we've been here, I think that's the right number. November 2007, I think so. We've been in the studio here, and two different, we had it this way and then we had it the other way, but it's been for like the last 7 years, 8 years, at least like this. And so of course we started the show in historic Ford Island, or actually started in Waco, Texas, then very quickly transitioned home and was in the audio only studio in Ford Island. And then we started the video show here about 6 years into the show. And so there's lots and lots of history. You know, I've came to you from Hawaii the entire time, and we picked up on the mantra. I don't know exactly what year we picked up the Ohana you know, bringing everyone into the family here. We've already talked about the family, but I don't know when I introduce the Ohana concept. And while we'll still always be, you know, everyone will always be part of the Ohana, it's definitely going to have a little different meaning when the show is no longer in Hawaii. We're going to, you know, be back in the mainland. So I just want to, over the next, you know, basically what we've got left here in Hawaii when the show ends in Hawaii, when the last official video show is done here on May 16th, then the focus is going to change, because very quickly, within a couple of weeks, I will be coming to you probably, I would assume, the June 3rd show, thereabouts. Either the June 3rd show or the June 6th show will be potentially audio only out of Michigan. There is a slight chance I'll be able to bring video up. I'm still thinking about that, but we're not going to have a studio. It's going to be kind of, well, we'll see what develops. And it might even come from a barn. And or maybe a blank office studio with just a green screen behind me. Who knows? But it's going to be very different, and there'll be maybe nothing behind me. Maybe we'll just, you know, we'll build the studio around the set there as things goes on. But anyway, the long story is here, or the short of this is that we've got some time left in Hawaii, and I'm going to be talking a little bit about the Ohana and what we've been through as a family. A little bit. I'll try to bring up tidbits, and I don't want to get too melancholy on you. I don't want to get, you know, but, you know, this is going to be a big change. So, it's sad in one point and it's exciting in another. And in fact, I started on Sunday to actually start to box stuff up, and I don't know why I've started early. I just found myself with some extra time on Sunday. So I grabbed, I already, you know, had some boxes already, and I'm already got like 25 boxes packed in the studio. And if you can't see it, and I don't know if I can actually show, you really can't see it, but the walls are now bare. Everything's down from the walls. And there's a few pictures left because I've got to get some special packing for it. And over on the right-hand side, you've never really seen it because, you know, all my challenge coins and my retirement shadow box and some stuff is still in here hanging that I haven't taken down and packed up yet. But the gist of it is that little by little, I'm going to get to the point where there's nothing, I can't do anything to this until the middle of May. And until we do the last show, then everything else will come down. But this room, I can't believe how much stuff is in here that I've actually boxed up so far. I'm shocked. I said, oh, that'll take 5 boxes. No, it took 10. And then, you know, my wife and I were discussing certain things, and like, I've got a almost like a mini locker in here. And we were talking about that. And I said, we'll leave that for Chris. Chris, he can use that for his room, because Chris may be taking over this room and making it his own. No longer having to double up with his brother, but his brother might be moving, and it's a long thing. So anyway, he's going to have his own room. So, we're going to, you know, have to get everything cleaned out of here, paint it, and, you know, make it ready for him. And, so lots of stuff happens after, May 16th, this whole room transforms. And, that said, with the Ohana theme, we've been through a lot just right in this, you know, this little area. And a lot of people that walk in here are always shocked how little the area really is. This room is 10 by 12, and there's still room to walk. There's a pathway on the right here and a little pathway in the back, and yet the rest of the room is full. So we're going to be having maybe 20 times the space as this room when we leave here. So it's going to be quite the change, and the dynamics of everything is going to change a lot. But anyway, that said, I just kind of wanted to talk about it, and I think there's going to be more of this as we get to that point, because, you know, a lot of stuff going through my head right now, a little stress, of course, that goes along with it. One thing I did, you know, I got to thinking about it, and you know, even though the 16-foot pod, I didn't want to, they wouldn't do door-to-door, And then as I'm packing stuff up, I'm thinking, that 20-foot container might be too much. So I've actually asked a company to come in and give me a bid. And I said, okay, if I'm being stupid, I don't want to overspend. But at the same time, I want someone to come in and say, oh yeah, this is $4,000 worth of stuff. Instead of $6,500 and plus the trucking and the permits and everything I have to get. And so we're going to have another company come in and look at it and give me a bid for the rest of the, for them to do it. And I still have to have everything packed. They just come up and load it and wrap it and everything else. So they'll be in on Wednesday and we'll hopefully get a bid shortly thereafter. So I'm moving right at the very start of when the peak season begins. And so it's real critical that I get stuff locked in here in the next week. I've got a 30-day okay from Mattson. I don't have to lock into that for another couple of weeks. I'm going to have one other company come. I also looked at a company called U-Ship. And one guy quoted me $7,000 and put everything on 6 pallets with no overhang. But it was a 48, it was a 4-foot height limitation. And I'm like, no, I got stuff in here that I have to ship that's higher than 48 inches. So, I don't think he's going to work. But, anyway, that's what's going on here. So let's get into the whole stack of stuff I've got to you today. Thank you for Kirk for putting the show together today and getting everything ready for me to rock and roll tonight. And the first thing I want to talk about here, and let me make sure I'm on the right track. Let me actually close that. I'm going to close this. And then, okay. So Game of Thrones, boy, oh boy, we're getting ready to kick off, right? And AT&T has teamed up with HBO and they're going to be doing a sweepstakes to give away a replica of the show's iconic Iron Throne. How much I wouldn't give to have that in the new studio. The $18,000 throne stands 7 feet tall and weighs just over 300 pounds. The Own the Throne campaign promoting the show's final season is open to AT&T wireless, TV, and internet customers who use the Thanks Loyalty Rewards app. The contest opens Monday and closes on May 7th. So I don't have any AT&T business. So there's no way I can win this. So again, if you're an AT&T wireless, if you're TV or internet customer, and if you use the Thanks Royalty Rewards app, you've got a chance at this thing. Now, in addition to the Throne giveaway, 3 AT&T stores, Boston, Chicago, and San Francisco, will get a Game of Thrones themed makeover. Customers at those stores can experience The Dead Must Die, a Game of Thrones AR encounter on a Magic Leap 1 VR headset. So, yeah, pretty cool, yeah? I have to hand it to AT&T. Someone is going to get something really cool for their man den, or, you know, I'm sure some wife is going to be like, where are we going to put that, honey? No, you can't build another addition to put this throne. You have to put it up on eBay. So that's what I'm kind of hoping. But it's going to go for crazy money. But $18,000 is the cost of the replica that they are going to make available in this contest. On a more serious note, Tyler Barrasis, the serial swatter whose hoax phone call led to the death of a Wichita resident, Andrew Finch, in 2017, has been sentenced to 20 years in prison for his role in the killing. On December 28, 2017, two men, Casey Viner and Shane Gaskill, got into an argument over a Call of Duty match and lost a $1.50 wager. Viner threatened on Twitter to swat Gaskill over the loss. And Viner provided Gaskill with an address believed to be a place he'd previously lived and taunted him to do something about it. Gaskill in turn got in touch with Barris. Andrew Finch, the man who actually got murdered, was not even a gamer, had no known connection to any of the three men. So, anyway, long story short, this guy got swatted over $1.50 loss bet. And, so this, and what's really bad here is that, that this guy Viner provided Gasco with an address of where he previously lived. Why he did that and taunted him to do so. So I don't know if anything happened to Viner or not. Anyway, this poor gentleman died because of this. And, Barris claimed to be a resident of the address and that he had fatally killed his own father. He had supposedly already poured gasoline all over the house and was prepared to set it on fire. Finch was shot when officers showed up and he opened the door, believing he had heard something. This guy showed little guilt or remorse for his actions. He said, "I love swatting kids who think that nothing's going to happen," he said in an interview posted to YouTube after this gentleman's death. And he acknowledged that he was responsible for dozens of swatting calls over the past few years. And he did finally show a little remorse at his sentencing on Friday. Both Viner and Gaskill have been charged as co-conspirators. Both pled not guilty. But Viner has told the court he intends to change his plea at the next hearing Wednesday. Gaskill, so they're all in trouble. Wow. So three people potentially going to go to jail here. This should be a warning to folks and to anyone that's out there that these types of actions have true life-changing consequences. So it's good to see that they got a conviction here and that he's going to do time and it doesn't bring this gentleman back that got shot, this innocent victim that got shot. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with the other two. Mark Zuckerberg is basically saying to Congress, okay, fine, we give up. Please regulate me and lock in my domination to market, lock in domination to my market position. I couldn't say that in an authoritative voice, but let's just get a few things here out of the way. Facebook deserves some scrutiny. And they deserve to be to be criticized. They've had indifference to serious problems. In my opinion, they've had bad management. And of course, they've been on the receiving end of a ton of press, bad press. Oh, someone's actually saying in the chat room, Rob saying, how do we take this show on the road? Rob, well, that's a good question. Jeremy, yep, you'll be able to come and see the new place when it's all set up. You know where it's going to be. So I don't know if we want to take this show on the road too much. It's hard to take this show on the road and do live. It's not really a show designed to be live, but how can I be your Ohana? You're part of the Ohana, Rob, just by being part of the family. I'll see you next week in Vegas. We'll have to have a few drinks as well. Well, let's going back to the article on Zuckerberg. You know, and Facebook, they've really screwed a lot of stuff up. And we know the company's frustrated because they can't win. And you know, it's everything. It's, political post. It's banning free speech. It's, you know, a whole bunch of stuff that's going on. So in an op-ed in the Washington Post, And of course, there's probably a paywall there. And it's like he's taken a box of 500 papers and thrown them in the air and says, screw it. He says, technology is a major part of our lives, and companies such as Facebook have immense responsibilities. Every day, we make decisions about what speech is harmful, what constitutes political advertising, and how to prevent sophisticated cyber attacks. These are important for keeping our communities safe. But if we're starting from scratch, we wouldn't ask companies to make these judgments alone. He says, I believe we need a more active role for government regulators by updating the rules for the internet. We can preserve what's best about it, the freedom for people to express themselves and for entrepreneurs to build new things while also protecting society from broader harms. I think I can choose what to protect myself from, Mark. You're really, like, being stupid here, in my opinion. Lawmakers often tell me we have too much power over speech, and frankly, I agree. I've come to believe that we shouldn't make so many important decisions about speech on our own. Don't make decisions on speech. He says, from what I've learned, I believe we need a new regulation in four areas: harmful content, election integrity, privacy, and data portability. Well, let's just think about that for a second. Data portability, good luck with that one with Facebook. You know, we had to beg, borrow, and steal to get them to finally get it so we could export our data. Privacy, there's no such thing as privacy on Facebook anymore. You know, you set your privacy settings and then check them 3 or 4 days later or a week later. All of a sudden, you find stuff starts switching back. Harmful content, there's some content that you need to moderate. Let's be in agreement with that. But much of what Zuckerberg has laid out is really disingenuous. When Facebook did a huge about face and started supporting FOSTA, remember that? A number of startups basically fully believed that Zuckerberg and Sandberg had decided it would be too costly to comply with FOSTA. They could have handled the expense. But for smaller companies like mine, ouch. One idea that is going on to some of the stuff Zuckerberg says, one idea is for third-party bodies to set standards governing the distribution of harmful content and to measure companies against those standards. Regulation could set baselines for what's prohibited and require companies to build systems for keeping harmful content to a bare minimum. I don't think I want the government setting any type of standards for harmful content. Where's the line? Where's the line? Now, there is one thing in his speech that I did agree with. He says people around the world have called for comprehensive privacy regulation in line with the European Union's General Data Protection Regulation. He says, and I agree. I believe it would be good for the internet if more countries adopted regulations such as GDPR as a common framework. Now, we've talked about it on this show. GDPR cost me a ton of money and a ton of time to implement. At least 3 man months, no, 6 man months, and probably $250,000 to implement GDPR protection on my platform. And I'm a little itty bitty company. Okay, that was a big check. That was a big check to write to implement that. Incredibly expensive. We had no choice. We implemented it system wide. Our American customers have GDPR protection, whether they know it or not. Here's the trick here. Zuckerberg knows what he's doing here. He's got handlers. He's got a whole team around Facebook image. He knows the narrative to put forward. He's trying to remove himself and place it upon the government, of which the government will be impossible to implement anything. When Facebook made its FOSTA flip-flop, Some folks thought it gave Facebook the dual benefit of positive press coverage and for having supported it while also purposely ensuring they'd make life more difficult for all their potential disruptive competitors. The op-ed did nothing to quell those suspicions, but even if Facebook is more foolish than disingenuous in calling for regulation that will, if they Congress does step up, it's going to hurt free speech. And what it could do is put in place stuff that none of us can afford to pay for. If I have to become the police officer for all the content that my content creators publish on our platform, I can't do it. I can't hire enough people to make it happen. Facebook can. I can't. So we'll see. But I think that, you know, from a little playing game here, Facebook is probably making a move that they think is going to be good for them. But for someone to come up and ask the government for regulation of the internet, that should send a chill down your spine. Should make you say, what? What? Who in their right mind would do this? Well, Facebook wants Congress to do that. What say you? Geeknews@gmail.com. In addition, Facebook wants your inputs on its content oversight board. And they want everyday people. And they're launching a public consultation process that uses a survey to ask how you would run the oversight body. And they ask you a wide range of questions about how you'd shape the board, including how it chooses members, how they make decisions, and its overall governance. And I don't know if this survey is open to everyone or not. The link is in the show notes for the article. It's up on Engadget. I have it there for you to take a peek if you so desire to actually give them any input. At the same time, Zuckerberg's hinting that he is going to have a dedicated news tab later this year. I'm sure that's going to work out well. Just what we need. Facebook actually curating news. Come on now. Really? If I was a news organization, I would be flipping out. So we'll see. We'll see where this goes. You guys know I'm a big fan of Getty Images, right? I just love that company. Any company that plays fair and is nice and, you know, does things like take public domain images and sells them and gives you a license to images that are actually in the public domain. That's a company that's just a great, great organization. Nothing illegal. Did you know that? Did you know there's nothing illegal with taking a public domain image, let's say a picture of the Earth from NASA that was taken by one of the Apollo crews, and they've made that in a public domain. It's a free picture. It's available to anyone. You can use it without paying for it. But yet over in Getty, they charge $457 for it for the uneducated. Another company has finally sued Getty over allegedly licensing public images. This one probably won't get anywhere either, because the last two haven't. But they're alleging that Getty has done RICO violations. What lawyer they got to fill this out? You know, it... It's RICO is a, well, maybe racketing, I guess. If again, I guess I could, in my opinion, yet Getty is definitely racketeering. Again, in my opinion. But you can sell public domain images. I didn't know. Did you know you could set up shop and do that? You can do whatever you want with them. But you can't sue over infringement of them, which Getty has been liable for in the past, I think. um, Because publishers today are making huge amounts of money selling the Bible, Shakespeare, Dickens, you know, all those works that are in the public domain. And anyway, so I wish someone would come up with something good to sue Getty with, because I'm definitely a big fan of someone that would come up with something good. All right, malware. More. Are you running malware on your computers? How about you Mac users? You running malware? You might be surprised. I'm running malware on all my Macs. And every once in a while, it ding. I get a little hit here and there. So, but malware may have stolen 2 million U.S. restaurant diners' credit cards. So you need to check your credit card statements if you eat at Buca di Beppo. I have. Earl of Sandwich? No. Or Planet Hollywood? So, when did this happen? So people who dine at Buca di Beppo, Earl of Sandwich, Planet Hollywood, and other restaurants between May of 2018 and as of last month may have been hit by a malware attack. So see, when did we go to Buca di Beppo last? It would have been, oh, I might be okay, April of last year when I was in Columbus and we took the team to dinner. Okay, so I might be okay. The malware could have stolen card numbers, expiration dates, and cardholder names. So anyway, shouldn't be surprised that is the another hack. Did any of you see the brilliant green fireball? A bright green fireball east of Tallahassee, Florida, sparked nearly 250 witnesses. For the American Meteorite Society, we got some good video. One guy was driving down the road, had his camera on his car, and we definitely had swamp gas. It was definitely, you could tell it was a meteorite. So, huge fireball. It lasts about 20 seconds, and pretty cool video. And the guy that was driving the car probably had the same reaction I would have, and it's not child safe. I'll just leave it at that. All right, a U.S. court has ordered 27 pirate sites to pay $1 million each in damages. And they've had their domains seized. So ABS-CBN, the largest media entertainment company in the Philippines, has scored yet another legal victory in the United States. A Florida district court issued a default judgment against the 27 defendants who operate websites that offer links to copyright infringing streams of ABS-CBN content. Just let me, you're going to laugh. Pinoy HD.SU, Filipino Show.SU, Filipino TV Shows.SU, Pinoy Tambayan.SU, Video.SU, Pinoy Channel Flix.SU, Pinoy Channel FW.SU. So you get the idea, right? Pinoy. Any of the Filipinos in the house, you guys will know what that means. Pinoy. And, So, all told, 27 Filipino sites that were infringing. I'm go ahead and try to collect that money. That's what I'm thinking. So, Pinoy OFW. You guys know what a OFW is? Some of you are thinking, how does Todd know this? OFW is Overseas Foreign Worker. The Philippines has one of the hugest numbers of OFWs in the world. They have it. I don't know how many. I don't know if it's in the millions, but it's a huge, huge, huge number of people that go out and they work a variety of jobs all over the world. Nurses, adult care, child care, nannies, maids, professionals, you name it. It goes the full scope, top to bottom, engineers, you name it. So I had to laugh when I saw this Pinoy OFW.SU and being one of the sites that got took down because, you know, they all these Filipino foreign workers, they want to watch, you know, Filipino television. And the shows, and usually in the countries their OFW is in, it's very expensive and they don't make a lot of money. They send a lot of money home. So, you know, their expendable income is very, very little, but they usually have internet because of their employer. So they can watch these dramas and entertainment shows, and you know, they have some of the, it's incredible, it really is. So anyway, where 27 dropped out, another 100 will pop up. Moving on here, iPhone 11 might get two-way charging and a bigger battery. So you might be able to charge your AirPods with your iPhone. Please. I don't have enough battery power as on its own. Do you think I want to charge another device with my phone? Come on. We're all carrying batteries anyway. Okay. If they do that, great. Call me skeptical. You remember to talk about Vector before? They're a rocket company. They are overcoming challenges to reach the launching pad. And of course, like a lot of companies that aspire to launch rockets, Vector has its ups and downs along with ways along the way to the launch pad. But an interview with Ars Technica, co-founder and chief executive Jim Cantrell said the micro launch company is continuing to make progress towards space and intends to launch two rockets this year. He says, basically, we've had to revise our development plan. He had previously hoped to see Vector make its first launch in 2018. He says, no rocket has ever been late. Ha, ha, ha. We'll probably be the first one. Ha, ha, ha. So anyway, Vector RB1001, they are shooting for a June launch date. So we will see. And where are they going to launch this from? Oh, they're going to fly the first orbital rocket from the Pacific Spaceport Complex in Alaska. I'm not even familiar with this. So any Alaska listeners, what is this? The Pacific Spaceport Complex in Alaska. Please fill me in. Anyway, so we'll do some more research into that. You hear about the Burger King's new burger? Well, Burger King is selling the Meatless Impossible Whopper. Yes. Featuring a patty designed to look and taste like beef. Burger King now sells a meat-free version of its flagship Whopper with a plant-based patty that's designed to emulate and look and taste of beef. The Impossible Whopper is available at 59 locations in St. Louis starting today, but the New York Times notes that Burger King also plans to offer the burger at all of its 7,200 locations if the trial goes well. Despite the fact that the Impossible Burger has a 15% less fat, 90% less cholesterol than a standard Whopper burger, Chief Marketing Officer Fernando Mercado claims that neither customers nor employees can tell the difference. The meat-free burger will cost customers about $1 more than the beef version. It will still be topped with mayonnaise, making it unsuitable for vegans. The mat-free patty used in Impossible Whoppers produced by Impossible Foods. The company's Impossible Burger is already available at White Castle. It's used an identical recipe to the other burger chain. It's based on the use of hem, which is derived from soybean roots, although it's been shaped to resemble Burger King's normal patties. Impossible Foods developed this burger in an attempt to reduce the world's reliance on animals. The Impossible Burger avoids the health issues and ethical concerns related to meat compensation. So, if the Impossible Whopper makes it to all the Burger Kings, this would effectively double the number of locations where its product is available in the United States. Next article. 13 new science fiction and fantasy books to check out this April. We have the link up from The Verge. I'm going through a new series right now. I'm on book 3. It's been semi-predictable up to this point, but it's a good space odyssey book. I like that. So what have you read lately that in the science fiction genre that just blew you away? What is something that you've listened to? They said, man, that was a good one. Well, there's a bunch that are coming out. And so I have a hard time keeping up with some of the stuff that's out there. And I typically put about, well, if I take time and read each night a little before I go to bed, I might polish off one book a week or maybe one every 10 days or so. It all depends. but there's a whole bunch there coming out. These, you know, the covers look great. I don't know anything about the author themselves. Some of these I don't know. And I'm a big science, Star Wars, I'm not going to read that one. But Atlas Alone looks to be curious. So anyway, what are you guys reading on the sci-fi front? Love to hear from you. What's something you've read good? Send me the link. Send me the, and I do a lot of Amazon Unlimited, if at all possible. If I don't have to buy a book, it's good. I like to borrow a book. So, you know, let me know what you've read. You've just like, maybe, or even a classic maybe you've read that I need to read. There's just so many out there. Flight management system crash causes airline delays across the United States. You know, when I was doing C-12s as a little King Air dual engine aircraft, a very reliable, very robust aircraft, I was the crew chief, and I would have to do wait and balance. And it got pretty easy because we had a max cargo weight of 300 pounds. It all went in the back, and then I could have up to 7 passengers, and I think we could fly about 3 hours. And on a dual turboprop, we get a long ways, a good ground speed. So you know, the weight and balance basically is, and for those of you that don't understand it, is when an aircraft is sitting on the ground, in its days before it is put into production, the fuel tanks are emptied. They drain it, drain the fuel, and they weigh the aircraft, and they get a zero fuel weight. They find out what the aircraft is, and then from there, putting fuel on in different levels of it's again zero. Weight was zero, so you know your baseline, and then you put the fuel on. Of course, that adds weight and where it's positioned in the fuel tanks and so forth. And you come up with the weight and balance of the aircraft. So, you know, if you think about an airplane, they have a little range. And if you think about you take a ruler, and if a ruler is 36 inches long, you know, if you put your finger at 18 inches, that, you know, the ruler is going to teeter totter a little bit. But if you were perfectly at the middle, the ruler would be perfectly balanced. So if you add a little weight on the tail, well, guess what's going to happen? The ruler is going to start to go teeter totter down. Well, in an aircraft, when you do weight and balance, there is a range that is acceptable. So every aircraft is different, and there is a every inch of the aircraft is mapped out. So as weight is put in, you will have sections, let's say from 171 inches to 250 inches, you could allow to have this much weight, and you know, all the way through. And the weight and balance basically figures out the distribution, passenger load, cargo load, and all that stuff. And it gets done, and when they're all loaded up, that airplane has to balance, has to be in between those two marks, and you have to be under a certain weight for the aircraft to get off the ground. Now, if the weight is in the back and they're rolling down the runway, when they pull up to take off and the weight balance is too far aft, they go up and they can't push the nose over. Basically, they stand on its tail, you crash and you die. The next piece is, if the weight is too far forward, you're not going to get off the runway. Or if you do, it's going to be ugly. So aircraft have to stay within that weight and balance. Weight and balance I did was on a slip stick, and I had a weight and balance sheet that I figured out each time before we went and fly. I would get the fuel, put that in, put my weight in, put my people in, put the weights in, very, very quickly work that through, do the math, double check it, hand it up to the pilot. He'd go through, double check my numbers. We'd both sign off on it. Boom, we'd go, because we knew our weight and balance was right. And we would do that as we maybe were taxiing or getting it all done. Well, an airplane, the pilot's in the cockpit and they've loaded the airplane and he's waiting for the ground to send him his weight and balance. And the airplane can't go off the ground without the captain getting the weight and balance. And today, a fault in software used by most U.S. airlines caused a wave of flight delays this morning, as several airlines were expecting issues with a non-FAA flight planning weight and balance program called AeroData. A Federal Aviation Administration said in an email statement, mainland operations and regional operations are affected to a varying degree. The software was down for about 40 minutes. So it must be it had to connect online to make it happen. Of course, if you're moving a lot of airplanes, you got to do a lot of weight and balance. And you have to know the weight of every cargo, of every piece of luggage. This is why your luggage is weighed as it goes on into the aircraft, or actually when you're checking in, they actually think they weigh it as they're putting it in the tub, a variety of different ways the stuff gets weighed, but they know how much that bag weighs and where it's positioned in the aircraft, along with bodies. And of course, for bodies in the airplane, they'll use an average on for human body weight. They'll use an average range. But so this was offline, and it shows you how automated things have gotten because they couldn't do their own weight and balance. There wasn't enough time to do it by hand. And of course, when you're dealing with as many pieces of luggage and everything that's going on the airplane, I understand why. And it would delay stuff when your system that basically spits that number out, and they still have to enter the amount of fuel. They have to put the bin weights, that go into the aircraft, how many passengers, and they probably, it's all computerized, has to, pulls the passenger load data. So anyway, AeroData caused delays today, but it's much better than rolling down the runway. The pilot pulling the yoke back to go to flight, and all of a sudden the airplane says, I really like to fly, and it stands on its tail, and the pilot can't push the yoke forward enough to get the aircraft to react, and you follow the sky and crash. There are some very dramatic videos of military aircraft that crashed and burned and with loss of life because of weight and balance. Sometimes tanks get loose inside of airplanes and roll around. One of the fun things we used to do in the P3 was we would get 20 people, and very slowly everyone would go back to the back of the aircraft, and the pilot would have to be adjusting the trim, and he would probably know something is coming because all of a sudden the airplane's feeling a little tail heavy, and he's been, putting in trim to adjust for that, that change in weight, as there's 20 guys in the back of the airplane, and then we would all charge the front. And the airplane would start to nose over, and he'd have to bring the trim back to get the aircraft to level out. And we'd play those games on the airplane. Yes, that's things that Navy guys did when they flew. But you get 20 guys running from the back of the airplane to the front of the airplane. Good way to mess with the pilot and keep them on their toes. No danger of any craziness happening and falling out of the sky. But considering the people weight versus the fuel weight and everything else. But they have been known to put 20 people in the back of the aircraft and actually stand the aircraft on its tail. That's not a good thing. So sometimes you'll see aircraft with a tie down chain on front. That's to keep it not only from moving, but from also standing on its tail when doesn't have the right fuel configuration. All right, telling too many stories. Telecom lobby suddenly pretends to care about accurate broadband maps. Well, if you've ever used the $350+ million broadband availability app by the FCC, you'll know it's a big piece of junk. Because I've been pricing internet where I'm going to have the new studio at, and I found 5 different companies that offer a variety of different plans, all of them crazy expensive for business plans. But the main thing was, is I went to the FCC site and looked, and the data was way out of whack. So US Telecom is saying, hey, we need to fix this. Well, is there another reason? One would be inclined to, and again, these companies don't like maps that show how broadband is in different areas. That's why the FCC map is so bad. But we watch the same organization routinely try to scuttle better broadband mapping efforts, or deny the industry's competition and availability issues for the better part of the last two decades. Their plan is rather vague. U.S. Telecom proclaims it will use multiple sources or of address, building, and parcel data to create broadband serviceability location fabric to better identify where broadband is available and where it isn't. But consumer groups and analysts who fought for years for better mapping have basically said the real goal of U.S. Telecom's latest gambit isn't really better data. It's preventing outside researchers and journalists from confirming the accuracy of said data. So, the voluntary AT&T and Verizon-led U.S. Telecom idea has a potential to improve the accuracy of FCC data, but it appears this methodology will produce far less transparent data that cannot be systematically verified and utilized by researchers. Derek Turner said, "We are suspicious of the motivations of U.S. Telecom because their approach of using ISP-supplied addresses level data is an idea its members have vigorously opposed since the FCC banned collecting data." So, we'll see. You know what's available in your neighborhood or what isn't. It'd be real easy for the FCC to be able to say, "Hey, what's available in your area?" And I could tell them. The FTC's given the ISPs green light to block applications as long as they disclose it. Let me say that again. The FTC has given ISPs the green light to block applications as long as they disclose it. This is despite Ajit Pai's assurance the FTC can't fully police net neutrality. "We know that the FCC gutted its own authority over ISPs by deciding that broadband is no longer telecommunication or common carrier service. And we know the FTC can punish U.S. companies for unfair or deceptive practices. But in regard to net neutrality, this simply means that ISPs must disclose any behavior that would have violated the old net neutrality rules. Under Section 5 of the FTC Act, they say we may prosecute unfair or deceptive acts or practices. Simply stated, we have a strong interest in ensuring the companies stand by their promise to consumers. The FTC would review whether ISPs keep their promises just as it reviews whether other companies keep their promises. We would review ISPs' activities in the same way. For example, we could take action against ISPs if they block applications without adequately disclosing those practices or mislead customers about what applications they block or how." So the FTC says, "Yeah, go ahead and block stuff, but you have to tell us what you're going to block." Here we go. We'll see what happens with this. There's more to this story. Link will be up in the show notes. You can go through it. Uber is sued for $10 million by a woman who was sexually assaulted by her driver. Why does this continue? Arizona, Washington, D.C. is suing Uber for negligence and consumer protection violations after she was sexually assaulted by one of the ride-hailing company's drivers. The victim listed only as Jane Doe, and court documents claim Uber portrays itself as safe, especially if they've been drinking, when in fact they are putting those women in harm's way. So, ladies, we keep hearing about this. So maybe it's time we start carrying mace and pepper spray. 31 drivers have been convicted of crimes ranging from forcible touching and false imprisonment to rape, and dozens of the criminals in civil cases are pending. The civil case is the latest example of Uber's ongoing problems. Last year, CNN reported that at least 103 Uber drivers in the U.S. had been accused of sexual assaulting or abusing their passenger over a period of 4 years. And again, at least 31 have been convicted of crimes. I think also, ladies, you can request a woman driver as well. I think that's possible. They need to start doing some, of course, their background check's going to be enough. A NASA chief says Falcon Heavy rocket could fly humans to the moon. This is a big mission, but they said they could probably do it in conjunction with United Launch ULA. because the Falcon Heavy can get them part of the way there, but the ULA can get them the rest of the way there. So there might have to be some marriages of technology to get there. But and there's some big hurdles. But this is a big mission, a big thought process here that NASA is undertaking at this point. You know, we're already going to be taking astronauts to the International Space Station. So if they want to get to the moon by 2024, back to the moon by 2024, they're going to have to think creatively and to stay in the budget that is available and using commercial partners like SpaceX and ULA. Exciting times ahead for sure. Google has stopped selling the Pixel 2 and 2 XL. So just to let you know that, those are gone. In the hope that you might buy Pixel 3. So Pixel 2 is no longer on the market. Also, there's an article about how researchers designed a shape-shifting airplane wing. Their new meta material could make air travel more energy efficient. So I don't think I'm ready to watch a wing change shape. You know, wings are rigid for a reason. And, you know, they've hinged wings before too. But what would be more crazy and what they're suggesting here is if the entire wing could change shape. That I want to see. And this was an article in the Smart Materials and Structures. The research team explains how it has radically redesigned the airplane wing. The new structure is a lightweight lattice framework made of thousands of repeating tiny triangle matchstick-like struts covered in a thin polymer layer. Because the meta material is mostly comprised of empty space, extremely lightweight, less than 1/1000th of the density of rubber, and the carefully positioned struts along the wings to change allow the wings to change shape automatically in response to change in aerodynamic loading. That's cool. And they've even got a concept model built. How do you do that and keep the fuel in it? That's my question. Or take the load. An 88-foot long electric bus is headed to Colombia. So today, BYD launched what it says the world's longest electric bus. An 88-foot long, the bi-article bus looks like a giant caterpillar. Can carries up to 250 people, reaching a max speed of 40 miles per hour. So it's going to Colombia. The question is that much mass transit being used in Colombia? All right. Picture of it's pretty cool. Wait to see it. Los Angeles County is using a computer algorithm to clear 50,000 pot convictions faster. The district attorney have teamed up with Code for America to help them clear around 54,000 marijuana convictions. The nonprofit's system will aid prosecutors by automatically evaluating whether a case is eligible for dismissal or resentencing. So there's a lot of pot charges out there, and they're trying to clear them now. Have you ever used care.com to find a daycare? Well, make sure you check the licenses of the daycare that you're going to, because apparently they took down 46,595 daycare listings today. The Wall Street Journal report finds that hundreds of listings weren't actually state licensed as they had been claimed. And some falsely claimed their licenses while others didn't even exist or didn't know that they were on the site in the first place. The company had warned in small print that it didn't verify listings, but that only appeared at the bottom of the page after the article. So be careful who you pick out there for your child's child care. Top web browser 2019, Edge gains share, yet stays in place. So according to California-based Webmetrics, i.e., Edge combined user share dropped 12.5, a half percentage point decline, decreased entirely race February's uptick. Let's see here. Did they say here who's leading? They didn't. Anyway, the article will link to the actual rankings if you even care. Hey, one thing, Kirk sent me a a link to today in Slack. He said, hey, check these out. There's a Kickstarter for something called packing cubes. And these are pretty slick. They got a Kickstarter going on. So it basically allows you to dual use some of the stuff you're using for, you know, when you go flying. They transform from being a suitcase to maybe a backpack or to, you know, a little side carry bag, that kind of stuff. So definitely check the Kickstarter out. Kirk, we're going to include that in the show tonight. All right. So let's get us out of here. I have drabbled on and told too many stories already tonight. And let's see if I've got anything else that's come up. And Jack, I'm still trying to figure out this PDP-8. We'll have to talk about that. All right. I think that's it. Hey, don't forget about our sponsor, GoDaddy. GeeknessCentral.com/GoDaddy. Don't forget about considering becoming an insider. This is a great time to do so. Definitely appreciate your $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 donations or your one-time donations that come in on a periodic basis. I appreciate that. Again, all that can be found at geeknesscentral.com/insider. As always, it's been my pleasure to bring you the show tonight. I'll be back with you on Thursday with another edition. As a reminder, I head off to NAB next week. And I think I've talked with Kirk about taking over the show for NAB. So there'll be two episodes next week with him at the helm, but exciting times ahead. This is the start of the countdown to my departure out of Honolulu. And again, it's been my pleasure to bring the show to you today. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being part of the HANA. Thank you for staying listening. For those of you been on the video stream, thank you for being in and just checking in and saying hello while you've watched. And I'll be back with you on Thursday with another edition. Everyone, take care. We'll see you next time on the Geek News Central podcast. Everyone, take care. Bye-bye.